Greetings, humans. I want you at the mall until you die saving. Hamptonville Mall, that is. Where the holiday sales are so good, you won't even need your pocket calculator. So why don't you make it easy on yourself and head on down to Hamptonville Mall. Acknowledge their low prices. End of line.
That was good, Mr. Pete. Real good.
Thank you.
Can we get you to cut the pause right before the pocket calculator bit?
Cut it?
Just by a little.
All right. Can't believe the depths I've sunk to. They didn't even call me in for the latest game. How humiliating.
Okay, we're ready in here. Are you good?
Go ahead. Greetings, humans. I want you at the mall.
We've seen you, staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Howdy, folks. This is Widget Walls, needcoffee.com podcast here with your Weekend Justice for Friday, December the 15th. So, sorry we missed last weekend. It's been kind of crazy around here. I had prescribed for me to deal with my ever-increasing day job virus a bit of vacation, but that doesn't seem to be, the drugs don't seem to be working, so to speak. So it's been kind of nuts. That on top of the fact that, as you may have seen on the site and mentioned on the GabFest, and I sent on a mailer as well, we've had some problems with spam bots attacking the site for comments. So I've been trying to figure out a way to keep from having to do something drastic. Like, I mean, you know, a lot of sites will have you register before you can comment. And, you know, that, I mean, if it keeps up and I can't seem to get a plugin that will do it 100%, we'll lock them out 100%, then we may have to do that. But I'm trying to avoid that simply because, you know, I like the idea that you can go to a site and comment without having to register. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know, it feels like a kind of stalkerish kind of thing to do, you know. I mean, I'd really like to have a conversation with you, but I need your personal information before I can do so. You know, it's kind of like having a prenup for just talking to somebody. It's just kind of nuts. So I'm trying to avoid that if at all possible. I don't know if it's going to be possible, but we'll see. But anyway, so I've been dealing with that along with all this other shit. And, trying to actually get some things done. And, well, you know, the fact that this is the first podcast we've had since the last Weekend Justice goes to show just how insane things have been. But, I mean, that's what comes from not being able to support yourself with what you love. So, kids, if there's any piece of advice I can give you that might hopefully do something better in your life, it's you know, have a hobby that will make you lots of money. That's all I have to say. Is do something, you know, find something that you're good at or make yourself be good at something that will actually, you know, make you money. Running websites, probably not a good idea. Writing, not a good idea. You know, find that as your other hobby when you're 55 and you retire from having, you know, created three or four different software companies and you're rich off your ass, because otherwise you're just asking for trouble. Oh, if I only knew then what I knew now, and I'd probably still ignore it. Anyway, so that's pretty much where we are. And all that aside, I have something really, I have a really serious question for all of you, my five listeners. And that is, hang on a second. Yeah, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm popping a Red Bull. How insane is that? This is my life. Welcome to it. Excuse me. Here's a straw. Straw's in place. There we go. Tasty. Okay. So here's what I'm dying to ask you. And I'm in all seriousness, and this is just, and this might be a personal question, but do you ever get worried if you find nostril hairs that aren't the color that they should be? I mean, how concerned should we be if we find, like, gray nostril hairs? And is that a sign of growing old or what? I mean, they could be growing out of your ears, right? That would be bad. That would be really bad. But as far as just, you know, like you know, you ever get those, like, gray hairs in your nose? And you're like, and I'm sorry if you're eating a McMuffin in the car right now, but if you ever get those gray hairs in your nose and you kind of look, you know, you kind of look and go, where the hell is that coming from? And it's not like any of the other hairs, right? I mean, because any of the other nostril hairs, they're kind of like, you can kind of tell where they're coming from on the sides of your nose. But if you look and you kind of tilt your head back and you look and you just go, Jesus Christ, where, it's like the gray hair, it just goes back into darkness, you know what I mean? And you don't, it's like, where the hell is that coming from? I'm thinking, should I pluck this, or is it like coming out of my brain? I just don't know. So I was just wondering about that. I wonder these things at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm hopped up on Red Bull and I can only share it with you. So anyway, so we're here for Weekend Justice. Before I forget, thanks to Clutch for the theme song, as always. I want to thank James Underberg. We used Moods of Man from PodSafe Audio for the background music for the intro. And so always good stuff there. There's a couple of go-to PodSafe Audio people I can always look to find something. So, okay, let's talk books. Let's talk a little bit of music. Let's talk some DVDs, shall we? First things first, on the book side, we've got from Tomorrow's Modern Masters Volume 9. This is the Mike Wieringo, I think it is. Wieringo. I don't ever, what is it with me and names? Wieringo. Wieringo, I think it is. That's what I'm sticking to. And basically, if you've been reading comics recently, you know Mike's work. And he's what I always think of as the chin guy. Because, I mean, if you look at like his Superman, if you look at his Flash, they've all got rather prominent chins. But, you know, all joking aside, I like his stuff. I just wish that, you know, he had he was around during a better time of Marvel and DC to work. Because, I mean, this is the guy who did Mark Waid's run on Fantastic Four, which was just, I mean, nothing against the artwork, but the story was just terrible. So I felt really bad for him. But anyway, this is, he's got a kind of a, they talk about manga, but to me he looks more like he's doing animation stills. I mean, you can see this, especially if you look at, you know, the sketch work and the galleries that they've got in here, and it's Tomorrow's, right? So you've got, you know, a crap load of just information and art in here. So if any of the Modern Masters, if you like the artist in question, you've got to grab them, because they're just chock full of art. But it goes through, there's all kinds of huge amount of interview material in here, and a killer amount of artwork. And I really do like his stuff. I just I've honestly never read Telos, which is his own work, the title that he owns. But I should definitely check it out, because it's one of those things where I've liked his artwork, but he needs better stories to be illustrating, frankly, because I really like his stuff. But anyway, that's Modern Masters. It's the 9th volume from Tomorrow's. Tomorrow's stuff is always good, and it's for Mike Wieringo, and I hope I'm saying that name right. Speaking of killer stuff for artists, Tomorrow's also sends us the 47th volume of Jack Kirby Collector, which if you like Jack Kirby, and I don't see how you couldn't like and appreciate Jack Kirby, you need to be checking these things out. Oversized books, just, I mean, chocked full of everything Kirby. It's just absolutely amazing. You've got, you know, they always come out with like rare artwork, sketches. They've got in here the a four-page plot that he put together that they're not sure what it was for, like Super Friends or something like that. Some of his original artwork and just, you know, talking to the people who worked with him, information on his work. It's just really, it's really impressive. And the fact that, you know, you've got enough Kirby stuff out there that you can do 47 and growing numbers of this thing is amazing. And of course, you know, we flip to the back and I love this. It's the old Superpowers ad from DC. The miniseries that shakes the cosmos and sells toys. But anyway, so yeah, if you're a fan of Jack Kirby, and I don't see how you couldn't be, then you should definitely check out a Jack Kirby Collector, because they are just brimming over with stuff. It's like Tomorrow, it's like the regular Tomorrow's goodness, but even amped up a bit. So again, that's from Tomorrow's Jack Kirby Collector, number 47. Now also, you know, we've talked on here about the folks at Fantagraphics that are putting out the Uber editions of the entire run of Peanuts, which we've recommended more than a few times. They've been nominated for Chazzies. I'm fairly certain they've won at least one. But there's some other Peanuts books out there, and Cider Mill Press has been putting out. If you recall, and when I start talking about this, you're probably going to clue into it very quickly. There were, when we were growing up, and I was born in 72, right? There were probably the first real exposure that I remember to Peanuts, because I don't remember reading it in the paper. And part of that is from the fact that, you know, towards the end of the run for Peanuts, it was getting really repetitive and just not very good, honestly. It just, it was one of those things where, you know, for example, like Burke Breathitt, right? Bloom County. One thing I've always respected about Breathitt is that he quit while the quitting was good. He didn't outstay his welcome. And you can't say that about a lot of comic strip artists, right? Like even Bill Watterson, when he did that final run where, if you recall, for Sunday papers, he took up double the space. That was one of the requirements. It just, the Calvin and Hobbes had lost something by that point. But Breathitt stayed just long enough. I mean, he got out and he ended it where he wanted to end it, and on a high point. But so I don't remember too much about reading Peanuts in the papers, because all of that is kind of meshed in, and I got ahead like a sieve anyway. But the first thing I remember is the square hardback books that had Peanut stuff in it. And Happiness is a Warm Puppy, which I didn't realize was Schultz's first book. But basically, they had Happiness is a Warm Puppy, Happiness is a Sad Song, Home is on Top of a Doghouse, and Security is a Thumb and a Blanket. And these, they Cider Mill Press has been re-releasing these square books, and this is a selection of them. And I'm ecstatic, because I'm like, God, this really is, talk about nostalgia from hell here, is seeing these and remembering when I had these when I was a kid. And, you know, it's some of your first recollections of going through Peanuts. And it's not even stuff that Fantagraphics necessarily would cover, because this is, it's just a series of happiness is this, and there's Peanuts artwork involved. So if you remember this as fondly as I do, then you might want to check this out as a gift for somebody, because they're really simple. What do we got? These are like $6, suggested retail price. So really, for like a kid, or for like a simple gift, this would be perfect. But you know, it's nice to have them yourself, because it's that whole, there's so many things that are nostalgic, and we have a whole tag for scary retro. But it's seldom that you get something that's like the nice retro, the nice nostalgia that doesn't make you, you know, like flinch. So these are the square Peanuts books, and they're out from Cider Mill Press, and we'll have some links up to those. Now, on the music side of the house, we've got from Sony Classical, Danny Elfman's, and I'm going to try to say this correctly, Serenata Schizophrena. I hope that's right. Anyway, it's basically it's, you know, we've got all of these rock musicians that have gone and tried to do classical. And I want to say tried, like I'm saying that they necessarily failed, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, use your own judgment. But everybody wants to do something a little outside of their sphere, right? Some with more success than others. And, you know, you've got Paul McCartney doing classical, you've got Billy Joel doing classical, you've got Roger Waters doing opera, that sort of thing, right? So here you got Danny Elfman, Oingo Boingo guy, right? Soundtrack, killer soundtrack film score composer guy. And basically what you've got is him creating a classical piece in six movements. And there's actually eight tracks on here with in stuff and also an improv thing. But that he created. So if you're a fan of Danny Elfman, you're going to want to check this out. This also apparently was used part of this was used in the soundtrack for the IMAX film Deep Sea 3D, which I have not seen. But it's Danny Elfman. So pretty much, and what I've always said is that like bad Danny Elfman is better than most good musical scores. So there's few things that I, you know, there's few composers like this that I will just go, oh, them? Okay, buy it. And that's Danny Elfman here with Serenata Schizophrona. And again, that's from Sony Classical. Next, let's go over to Hippo Records, where we've got the John Coltrane Gold Collection. And you can never have too much John Coltrane, but bearing in mind that this is probably, you know, if you're a fan of John Coltrane, obviously, then this isn't going to be for you because this is two discs of stuff that's available. There's nothing new on here, in other words. But you've got the classic stuff. My Favorite Things is on here. Part of A Love Supreme is on here, In a Sentimental Mood. So you've got the classic tracks on here. If you're trying to get, if you don't know Coltrane, this is a good introductory disc, right? Because it hits some high points. But if you're a collector, you're not going to have anything new on here. Or if you want to get Coltrane for somebody to introduce them, I don't know who wouldn't know Coltrane at this point. But so that's pretty much what this is good for. And this, again, is John Coltrane Gold. And this is from Hippo Records out of Universal Music. Next up, for fans of A Series of Unfortunate Events, which we've talked about recently and which has recently ended, and did so with the 13th volume of that, The End, we've got The Tragic Treasury, and this is out from Nonesuch Records. And basically what you've got here is it's Gothic Archies have created a soundtrack with songs that are taken from the various books. And you've got, you know, Scream and Run Away from The Bad Beginning, which talks about Count Olaf, which is actually quite amusing. And listen to some of these titles on here. The world is a very scary place. Smile! No one cares how you feel. And Walking My Gargoyle. So, you know, if you've liked the... First of all, the album is good in its own right, even if you don't know the books. And I read the first book, and I didn't get into them. And Ken still gives me shit about that. But, you know, I just... It wasn't my thing. And that's kind of... And I know some of you people like the books going, Widge, a dark book for kids, and you didn't like it? I mean, because I know you're thinking that I have the mentality of like an 8-year-old, but I mean, you know, it's for whatever reason, it didn't work. Anyway, so this is Songs from A Series of Unfortunate Events. If you like the series of books, you should definitely check this out. And this is from Nonesuch Records, 15 tracks from the Gothic Archies. Next up, we've got from Interscope Records, Primus Singles, which is... Well, that's what it's, I mean, it's cheese, of course. So they've got it looking like a package of cheese here. But basically, it's Primus. They can't all be zingers. They're 16 tracks from their greatest hits. And again, there, from what I can tell, there's nothing new on here. Nothing I don't recognize. But you know, if you're trying to introduce somebody to Primus, this would be a good primer for Primus. Primer. And because there's stuff on here like Defy the Laws of Tradition, Jerry Was a Race Car Driver, My Name is Mud, Winona's Big Brown Beaver, all of the tracks that you would expect to be on here are indeed on here, and it's good. Now, if you are, you know, if you've got all the albums, if you're a Primus freak and you already own all this stuff, there's nothing new here except for the fancy packaging, but that's about it. But they're upfront about it because it does say on the cover, classic Primus songs repackaged for your listening convenience and our financial benefit. So they're taking basically a page from Monty Python's book. But anyway, so if, but, you know, if you want to introduce again, some CDs are good for introducing people to bands. And this would be good for introducing folks to Primus. And of course, they suck. So Primus, They Can't All Be Zingers, that's from Interscope Records. And there you have it. Great musical cheesy goodness. Now last but not least, on the music side, we got a monstrous box set here. It's Johnny Cash at San Quentin, the Legacy Edition. Now, this is basically, you're not screwing around with this. Now, we're talking about the John Coltrane and the Primus stuff with nothing new. This has new stuff. Now, first of all, we've got two CDs on here, right? It's the 1969 show, and it's the whole show. I mean, it's the entire show. Previously, as I understand it, you had just Johnny Cash's stuff that had been released and just a few tracks of that. But now you've got the whole thing. And there's performances by folks, not Johnny Cash, right? Statler Brothers, Carl Perkins, you got the Carter Family on here as well. And there's something like, I don't know, there's got to be like, I want to say at least 10, maybe 12 unreleased tracks on here. So that's pretty cool. Now, in addition to that, for the two discs that you got there, there's a third disc, which is a DVD, which is a documentary, Johnny Cash in San Quentin, which was a UK documentary about the concert that he gave there, with one-on-one interviews, and it has a full performance there, and that runs for about an hour. So this is a great set for the Johnny Cash fan, because, like I said, it's the complete concert, which has never before been released, and it's two discs and a DVD, and that is from Sony Legacy in Columbia. So a Johnny Cash fan is definitely going to want to grab this, and I'm excited as hell to have it. So there you have it. Okay, let's talk DVDs here. First up, we've got the Martin and Lewis Collection, Volume 1. And basically, this is from Paramount. And there's not much to talk about with this, because you're either a Martin and Lewis fan or you're not, okay? And what you've got on here are 8 films, like it said, first time on DVD, and that's about it. But if you're a fan, then you're not even going to care. You're going to be glad that this stuff's available. So the films that are on here, we've got My Friend Irma, My Friend Irma Goes West, That's My Boy, Sailor Beware, Jumping Jacks, The Stooge, Scared Stiff, and The Caddy. So if you're a fan of Martin and Lewis and you've been waiting for these films to hit DVD, now's your chance to grab it and make sure that you do so that they will come out with a Volume 2, because the Volume 1 implies that there's more if they think they can make some sales out of it. So again, that's the Martin and Lewis Collection, Volume 1 from Paramount. Now next we got a DVD release from Hippo, and this is the Give Peace a Song documentary. And this is about John Lennon and Yoko Ono when they did their bed-in. Basically, it's a documentary about their peace protest. And for fans of Lennon, you're going to want to check this out, because this is really a great release. You've got the documentary there. You've got film that was taken from the site, outtakes from their own movies of the event. A bunch of people show up to hang out with them. Dr. Timothy Leary is there. Al Capp shows up. So they've got all this on film. They've also got unreleased photos. They've got interviews with folks, new interviews with folks. And you actually see them record the song Give Peace a Chance, which was done there. So, again, fans of John Lennon are going to want to grab this for its historical value, if nothing else. And it's just cool enough to see them record that song, which everyone knows. So that's John and Yoko, Give Peace a Song, and that's from Hippo Records. You should definitely check that out. Next, we've got an independent film, if I could talk, The Almost Guys. And basically, it's a nice comedy from writer-director Eric Fleming, which has an interesting cast in it. Especially, I'm very glad to see Robert Culp in this, basically having a blast, as you can tell just from the cover. That basically sums his character up in a nutshell. But basically, it's about this guy and his partner, and they take possession of a car, and there is a guy in the trunk, and the trunk guy happens to be a baseball pitcher who is needed for the World Series, and it just hijinks ensue from there. So if you're looking for something different and want to support some independent film that's actually good, you should check out the Almost Guys, and you can find that on thealmostguynation.com. But it's a nice comedy, and I'm always glad to see Robert Culp in anything. He doesn't work enough. We love him. Next, from Archetype Films, and we've got this as kind of your adverse video pick for the week, is the unrated version of Living Death. And for those of you who didn't understand what the hell I just said, it's Living Death. And it stars Christy Swanson. And basically, this is a film about what happens when the wife, Christy Swanson, is having an affair with a guy's best friend. And there's nothing but murder in the air. And, you know, I got to tell you something about Christy Swanson. You remember the Wes Craven movie Deadly Friend? Okay, you're gonna laugh at me, but you laugh at me anyway, so fuck it. I actually liked Deadly Friend up until like the very end, that kind of Carrie-esque ending that they stuck on it, and I thought at the time that Christy Swanson was really hot, so that was kind of cool. Now I don't know, she's I don't know what's changed, but you know, it's kind of like one of those things where you grow up and you go, man, I had a crush on her, and I'm not sure what happened. But I'm not sure what happened. But anyway, so that completely needless aside, sidebar, before we, you know, before we wrap up here on Living Death, the unrated version. And this is like, you know, if you want, it's definitely got that kind of Saw feel to it, because you've got hooks and bludgeon instruments and lots of, you know, bondage. So, well, you know, bondage, but I mean, when you consider that every shot that you've got, you know, pretty much, hang on, blah, 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 all four shots of Swanson on the box art, she's got manacles on. So that kind of tells you that who they're aiming for. But anyway, that's from Archetype Films, and Genius Entertainment's distributing it. It's Living Death. And like I said, if you want your adverse video pick, that's your one for this week. And we can always have adverse video, right? Next up from Disney, only on adverse video can you go from, man, Christy Swanson used to be hot and she's tied up a lot, to Cars from Pixar. Oh, and only at 5 o'clock in the morning is this shit funny. And thank God for that, because if it was funny all day long, then we'd have problems. Anyway, so normally, you know, first of all, I got to tell you, I've gotten, a lot of people were not impressed with Cars. I actually enjoyed it, and my rationale for that is this, is that if you can make me care about a racing movie, then that's impressive, because I could give a shit about racing. I mean, I'm sorry, I mean, okay, it's one thing if you're talking like, you're going like cross-country race, right? If you're like racing through the desert or something, right, where you can just balls to the wall go all the way out. But if you're just driving in a circle for like 500 laps or something, I don't even understand why that is exciting. I can't, even after seeing Cars, I mean, I still don't understand how this is, could be possibly be exciting. But, you know, the fact that they made me give a shit about this is impressive, to say the least. And, you know, I'll give them this. They were a little busy at the time dealing with all their Disney shit and getting that worked out. So, you know, I'll give them a pass if they can bring Disney back from the brink. And like I said, I enjoyed it. I mean, it wasn't Toy Story, but then again, what is? Anyway, so, and here's the other disappointing thing. The only thing that, actually, the only disappointing thing that bothers me about Cars is that we don't have the Uber Mongo edition that you normally get with Pixar releases. I mean, there's no commentary on here, which is, and commentaries from Pixar are like a riot, so that's really disappointing. And you don't have the in-depth look into how the film was made. What you've got is the two short films, one of which is new, and also, now this is nice, there's a featurette about how John Lasseter came up with the idea for Cars, and got with, you know, and there's footage of them going on Route 66 to basically get inspired for the film and do study for the film. So that is nice, don't get me wrong, but I just want more, and I'm hoping that the plan is that this is your, you know, version to have out for the holidays, and then we'll have like a two-disc set coming later. I'm fine with that. But anyway, so that's Cars, that's from Disney, and if you haven't seen it, you really should see it, because it's an enjoyable film, and you know, don't believe the hype, it's actually good. I mean, Pixar, like I've always said, bad Pixar is you know, better than, you know, anything that Fox generally puts out for their animation stuff. So, Cars from Disney, check it out. Next, we've got from MGM, ooh, very nice, this is the Fish Called Wanda Collector's Edition. And so you've, I mean, everyone knows this film. If not, then I don't know what the hell to say to you. But John Cleese, Kevin Klein, Michael Palin, Jamie Lee Curtis, incredible comedy film, just ridiculous. And Kevin Klein winning the Oscar for it. Who knew that was going to happen? So you've got deleted and alternate scenes on here. There's a documentary, a featurette. You've got John Cleese has his own personal message for you. And there is a audio commentary with John Cleese, who, of course, wrote the film as well. So Hilarious fucking movie, and worthy to this collector's edition here. So again, Fish Called Wanda from MGM. And if you've been holding out for a decent edition to pick it up, then here you go. Next up from BBC, we've got the BBC Atlas of the Natural World, and this focuses on the Western Hemisphere in Antarctica, and it's a nature lover's dream. I mean, basically, any BBC documentary that they put out about nature is going to be freaking gorgeous. I mean, these are the people who did Blue Planet. You know, they got David Attenborough here, who Life in the Freezer was released separately. So that is awesome. So anytime the BBC goes out and films nature, you want to be there, right? And this is impressive because this is a 6-disc set, okay, which has 4 programs on here that are basically miniseries in themselves, right? And it comes to about 18 hours worth of goodness, right? So this is more than a weekend's worth of viewing. But basically you've got the 4 programs and their particular focuses. And you don't have much in the way of bonus bits, but then again, you don't really need that much when it comes to a set like this. But you do have basically pop-up video-like facts that you can put it in a mode which will add facts on top of the facts that you're already getting from the documentary. So, nature lovers, check it out. It's from BBC Video, BBC Atlas of the Natural World, Western Hemisphere in Antarctica, and it's an impressive, formidable set. Next up, there's always room for more Animaniacs, and that's why we've got the second volume of both Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain. And on the Animaniacs side of the house, you've got 25 episodes, right? And that series is an absolute classic, so you've got to have this. There is one extra that's on here, which is Maurice LaMarche, which is having a discussion with the writers. He's leading a discussion with the writers about their favorite episodes. On the Pinky and the Brain set, you've got 22 episodes, and what you've got is what they call the audition, which is a featurette in which Mark Hamill and Wayne Knight do a casting call to do the voices of Pinky and the Brain, and Rob Paulsen and Maurice LaMarche, of course, the original Pinky and the Brain, show up to give them a schooling. So it's quite amusing. But if you're a fan of the shows, right, you're going to want to grab this. Animaniacs Volume 2 and Pinky and the Brain Volume 2, these are both from Warner Brothers, and they're both absolutely necessary. So again, grab those if you will. Next, we've got one of the last TV shows that I ever watched religiously in original, you know, when they first came on. I used to stop and watch this. And so it's Law & Order Criminal Intent, right, the second year. And I watched it because of Vince D'Onofrio and his character I really enjoyed. And, of course, Jamie Sheridan, who will always have a soft spot in my heart because he is, after all, Randall Flagg. But basically, I watched Criminal Intent for a long while. And then when Trial by Jury showed up, I kind of switched over to Trial by Jury. And when they canceled that, I was just kind of so disgusted, if I could actually talk. Hang on, more Red Bull. I can't even. Jesus Christ, I'm trying to knock over the Red Bull. I shouldn't have crushed up those Fush and inhaled them. I'm kidding. I'm fucking kidding. I thought about it, though. But anyway, so I watched Trial by Jury. I was disgusted by the fact that it was canceled. I took some comfort, and I think I've expressed this here, that Conviction was also canceled because it was shit. But I've never really gone back to Criminal Intent. And it's one of those things that, you know, you kind of, you can kind of sit down in front of, it's the whole purpose of Law & Order. You can sit down in front of any flavor, doesn't matter what season or year it is, and not care, right? And just watch it. It's kind of like TV candy, you know what I mean? And it's always on. It's always freaking on. Now, if you are a fan of the show, and you just want to be a completist, you can grab this. The only feature, I'll go ahead and tell you, they do have some deleted scenes on here, and that's about it, which is a fucking shame. But this is from Universal. If you're a fan of the show, you're going to want to grab it. Fan of the series, it's Law & Order Criminal Intent, the second year, ran from 2002 to 2003, and it's still going with new cast and Chris Noth coming back and all that other good stuff. So, again, Law & Order Criminal Intent, second year from Universal. Next up from BCI, we've got an animated series that is near and dear to my heart. It is the complete series of Dungeons & Dragons. And let me tell you about this, and then we'll talk about the features that come on here. And it's from BCI and it's animation, so it's extensive in its amount of features, right? But basically, my experience when I was growing up, and I may have mentioned this before when it came to role-playing games. I mean, all you guys, Doc and everybody and all, you know, all you people got to play role-playing games. I lived out in the middle of fucking nowhere, right? And which was nice, it was nice when I got older, and I started to develop my misanthropic ways and just basically hated being around people because people basically suck. And I don't mean all of you because I don't consider you people. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. But we lived out in the middle of nowhere. So whereas you guys could like play role-playing games in D&D and shit with like people in your neighborhood, I had no neighborhood. I mean, I was 3/4 of a mile off the main road. Didn't know anybody. So there's nothing more pathetic in your life, okay, than trying to get your grandmother to play Star Frontiers with you because there's no one else around. So that is suck factor high, okay? So I always liked Dungeons & Dragons because for me, it was about the only, it was the closest I came to the game, which is sad but true. So, and this, like I said, BCI Animation, this is not news to you. They do good work. They put out incredible box sets of these shows that you had forgotten. Now, Dungeons & Dragons, I don't think anybody forgot. I had planned to do that, what was that, Loose Ends, the skit, for a while. But basically, you've got a shitload of interviews, like a half hour's worth of interviews, right? Episode commentary tracks with a bunch of folks, including what's hosted by Andy Mangles. I think it's Mangles and not Mangels. I think it's Mangles. But he's big into comics and writing about them. Mark Evanier, our friend, okay, is on the commentary track as well because he worked on these. You got animated storyboard comparison. You've got profiles out the yin yang. There is a fan film, a short live action D&D fan film. Now, there was a final episode that never aired called Requiem that was basically supposed to tie up the series, as it were, and keep us from having to do something like Loose Ends. But basically, they do a radio style presentation of the script of that. There's alternate rare footage. There's DVD-ROM features, which include scripts and stuff. And this is kind of cool, there is a D&D animated series handbook game supplement that comes exclusively in this set. And Wizards of the Coast came up with this, and it's got official character profile, stats, magic items, and a new adventure for D&D fans. So that's really cool, and it actually kind of bridges the game and the series with this adventure that they've got in here. So what a fantastic fucking set, right? 27 episodes, it's across 5 discs, it's Dungeons & Dragons, the complete animated series, and it's actually done up to look kind of like a whole D&D set, basically. Really nice, and a great, happy nostalgia type of thing. You know, a little scary, but mostly not. D&D, the complete animated series, and that is out from our friends and yours at BCI. Now, last but not least, we got a bit of a massive set here, and this is the Pride and Prejudice 10th Anniversary Limited Collector's Edition set. And Pride and Prejudice, let me say this, I've gotten shit for this before, but I like the series, the miniseries, okay. I don't find that it has the same religious connotations that a lot of folks do, shall we say. And I don't really like the book. I mean, I don't like these kind of books. I don't know why. They never work for me. And of course, don't give me that whole shit about, well, you're a guy. It's not that simple. But you've got the Pride and Prejudice that has been released before, basically, the 2 discs. And there is a third DVD that comes in this set that has a new documentary on Jane Austen. It's from the biography series. And there is a 10-year retrospective documentary about the series Pride and Prejudice. So there's that. And this also comes with a ginormous 120-page book from the BBC and Penguin Books that is a making-of book that talks about the entire process of putting it together. So they couldn't give you a full-on featurette or commentary or anything, but they do give you a book, which is nice. And this is a huge tome-looking thing that would go well on your shelf. And this is from A&E. It's the Pride and Prejudice 10th Anniversary Limited Collector's Edition. And if you know fans of the series, okay, and basically I don't know any females that aren't fans of the series, and I'm not trying to lump you all into one group, ladies. I everyone I know who is female likes the series. That's all I'm saying. So you're going to want this, or you're going to want to put it on your Amazon wish list, or you're just going to want it to be your Christmas gift to yourself. So that is the 10th Anniversary Limited Collector's Edition from A&E of Pride and Prejudice. And that is that, and we are done. That is your weekend justice for this week of 12/15. I appreciate everybody's patience as we're trying to work this shit out. What else do I need to tell you? Oh, the contests are back. I'm trying to run a new contest every 2 days so that we don't get overwhelmed. There have been some changes to the rules. They run for about 2 weeks before they get canned, and you can enter once a day. This is kind of a compromise between all the people that were spamming me. They would come in and do 8 entries. Now, the only thing is, because we're doing once a day, if you enter more than once a day, I'm going to axe every single entry that you've put in. So you will basically disqualify yourself for the contest. So don't be a fuckwad and try and spam us with multiple entries, because that really pisses us off. And here's another thing, just for your knowledge. If you win, you've got to email me back and confirm your street address so I can send you the prizes, right? Because there were too many times where we were sending off prizes and getting them back because somebody had their address wrong. So if you don't email me back and tell me that you're actually a human being and have a street address, then we're going to skip you and give the prize to somebody else. So don't be a fuckwad. Anyway, that's that. I appreciate everyone's patience as we try to get the spam shit under control. Basically, if it's down to the point now where only every so often does the server hiccup, and if it does, you should normally be able to just refresh and come back. If you're having serious problems accessing the site because some of the security stuff that I put on there or posting comments, please let me know. I'm trying to keep this as painless as possible, but also trying to keep my fucking website up and running. And spammers, I hope you all rot in a hell of my choosing, which would be the hell of boiling Aunt Jemima syrup. That is the hell that I hope that you all go to when you perish. And it's pretty bad when you've got an atheist like me wanting to wish somebody to hell, right? I mean, that's how desperate it is. It's just, you know, ugh. So anyway, that's it. That's your Weekend Justice. I appreciate you listening. Thanks again to Clutch and to James Underberg for the use of their music. Thanks to all of you for listening. Hopefully when this vacation drug kicks in, I'll actually be able to catch up on some more things. I was able to put up a new chapter of Overkill, and I'm working on some new comic book stuff. So maybe you guys won't kill me. But anyway, that's it. We're out of here. Stand by for Weekend Justice for next weekend. Then we'll probably skip Christmas weekend. I think we've got some other podcast stuff in mind for when we meet up with some of the other Need Coffee folks. But beyond that, we'll hopefully have some heads up stuff in here to catch up with. So that's it. I'm done stalling. We're out of here. Have a lovely weekend. Enjoy yourselves. For fuck's sake, you've earned it. And let me know what you think, as always, about the podcasts. I can be reached at widgetsucks@needcoffee.com. And, oh, there was one other thing. I have my new blog over at widgetwalls.com. I also own widget.com, which I'll be, 2 T's, obviously, which I'll be getting up and running here and pointing to the blog shortly. But onetusk.com is going to be repurposed for One Tusk Productions. Or as I'm thinking of changing it to One Tusk Industries. I don't know. One Tusk Industries, One Tusk Productions. We'll figure it out. But basically, now I can have a blog that I can have my personal, you know, political and atheist and all kinds of other crazy screeds and shit on there. And keep it separate from my business work and not scare anybody off. And I have a work blog on there, too, so you can actually see what I'm doing and accuse me of being a slackass. Please do. So anyway, like I said, widgetsucks@needcoffee.com. Let me know what you think of the show. As always, it's much appreciated, and have a lovely fucking weekend, and we will see you soon. Thanks again for listening.